And welcome to another edition of Zoomed In. I'm the host, Brandon Chapman. I'm really excited today. This is the first episode of a new season, and we brought in the big guns here. We brought Aubrey Anderson from the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District. And most importantly, of course, you're a Coug, and we'll talk about that. But you're something that we call a digital learning specialist. I had to look down to make sure I got that right. I certainly will ask you about that. But Aubrey, thank you so much for joining us on Zoomed In.
Thank you for inviting me. Happy to be here.
So this is one of those times where, like so many others, we connected on Twitter. And so just as for those who want to know, you can find Aubrey on Twitter, and we'll probably just put it on the screen that and in the description. So that'll be the easy way to find you. But I was immediately struck as I went through all of the stuff that you do. It was very digital heavy. And you're obviously very savvy at that. But then, of course, what's the most important thing is it said Go Cougs on there. So immediately I liked you at that point. But talk about your experience as a Coug, and then we'll talk about your current role, and we'll talk about today the role in the pandemic and all that. But what led you to education and WSU?
Perfect question. So actually, I'm really proud of my past, and I'm one of those fortunate people who can say I grew up in Pullman. So whether or not I was going to be a Coug was never a question. It was always the end goal. Education too was in the family. So my parents, brother, aunts and uncles, they all taught in the Pullman School District years ago. They're all since retired, living their best life. But that was kind of I knew I always wanted to be part of the family business, but it grew from that love of, you know, kids and pedagogy, and I can nerd all day long about tech and teaching and learning, and ultimately just seeing light bulbs pop on with kids and having an impact. So that was kind of, you know, education was just what we talked about at the dinner table every night. So
how did your career start? Take me through that path. I mean, you came to school, and what did you study, and then how did you transition? Where did you end up working, you know, to begin with? Take me through the short version of your resume, basically.
Sure, yeah.
CV, as we would say here in the world of academia.
Yeah, so once I graduated from Pullman High School in 1997, class of 97, I actually decided that I wanted to go the route of leaving Pullman for a short time and getting a different taste of a different world. So I went to Spokane Falls Community College and earned my AA with the intent of transferring back. Best decision I ever made, actually. So small class sizes, and kind of got out and really was like, yep, definitely want to be a Coug. And then I came back, interviewed in the College of Education, and was accepted and earned my degree in elementary education. So, a funny short story about my first day in the College of Education was, again, being a Pullman kid, you're coming into this College of Education and you've got all these new people, new students around you, new colleagues, as it were, peers, and they're all nervous. I'm nervous. I don't know any of them. And I step into my first class and it's Dr. Ruff, who it was difficult for me to call him Dr. Ruff because I knew him as Mr. Tom Ruff as a kid. You know, we had a great relationship. His oldest and youngest daughter, I think, were on the swim team with my brother. And so that was weird. And he, of course, mentioned that day one of class, and all the people were like, oh, here we go. Well, the second class was with Mrs. Jensen, who was a counselor at Pullman High School. So, of course, she mentioned her, you know, hey, Aubrey, nice to see you again. The third class of the day, people were like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, honest to goodness, I don't know. I don't know this person. I really don't. And so they ask you, you know, introduce yourself. What's something cool about yourself that connects you to education? So I said, you know, my parents and my aunt and uncle are all teachers in the Pullman School District. And she said, my niece and her husband are teachers in the Pullman School District. Well, who's your niece? Debbie McNeil. Oh, that's my aunt, Debbie. And so everybody from that point on was like, oh my gosh, you're ridiculous. You know everybody. So, I enjoyed my time in the College of Education, graduated elementary ed, and did my student teaching in Tahoma, school district with Nancy Skerritt and Emily Hard, who are big wigs in the field of education. But because I was a Pullman kid, I got to choose where I wanted to go. So I chose intentionally to go there. Then got hired in Sumner Bonnie Lake School District, which is where I still am. So I've been here, this is my 21st year here, and I've taught fifth grade, sixth grade, and then I kind of focused on math and science most of my career. So I've taught, you know, intervention all the way through highly capable algebra, math, and science. And then this is my first year in this role. And then I actually did get my administrative credentials a couple of years back through WSU Vancouver. So,
Cooper. Awesome. Awesome. That is such an amazing story. And as you were listing off some of these people, I'm like, oh, I know Debbie McNeil. And then you said Mrs. Jensen. Tell me who that was.
So Susan Jensen.
Okay. I just didn't know if Mrs. Jensen was Susan Jensen, who is my next door neighbor. So.
Yeah. And then Mr. Akmal, of course.
Tarek Akmal. Absolutely.
Yeah. Him in the school, and then he was my tech advisor in, you know, at WSU. And then my favorite thing, though, being a Pullman kiddo, I went to all the Cougar football games, love Cougar football. And my student advisor was Reuben Mays.
Reuben lives right up the road. I mean, you talked about leaving Pullman, right? And I totally support that for all young folks. Go out, see the world. I think it can actually help you appreciate Pullman. But you know, you've been there when you're in high school. I've got two high schoolers right now, and I let them know, sons, I've got eyes all over the city. Well, Avi, so this sounds like a really cool path. Of course, like so many people, I have this heart-wrenching like thought of when my neighbor across the street, who is a teacher, talks about you know, the March, April, May, June of the pandemic when it hit, and the stress that was so so large on teachers, you know, even in a fantastic school district like Pullman, that he tells a story he could hear through the walls. And you know, I mean, they're not paper thin, but they're not, you know, solid steel. He could hear another male teacher just sobbing one day in their classroom, and just, you know, the gut wrenching to hear these kind of stories. The pandemic hit, and it hit hard, right? Yeah. So talk about, you know, the way that things were, like the way you were used to doing things, the normal MO, the daily doldrums of, you know, of teaching and so on and so forth. And then how did the pandemic really hit that? Talk about that and like the triage, basically just trying to keep your heads above water.
Yeah.
So your role in that?
Initially, when the pandemic started, you know, we were all surprised. Like we were shocked. Sorry, I'm in the hallway because I share an office, and so I wanted to be unmasked for this. So there you go.
Perfect.
So when the pandemic hit, it was kind of a shock, and we thought initially that it was going to be a couple of days, at most a couple of weeks. So when it came out as 6 weeks, we were shocked. We had no idea. I mean, I remember taking pictures of my classroom as I left, kind of going, okay, and you're packing up your things, and you're wondering, like, what do I take? At the time, I taught science. So it's a lab course. And I'm like, I don't know what I need. So I ended up taking home darn near everything that I had in the classroom, because we didn't also know if we'd be allowed back in the buildings in our current district. So we were being told, you're going home for 6 weeks, and we'll let you know. So we didn't know if we were going to be teaching in the building at some point, or how that was going to work. I know other districts were teaching from their school building, but that was not our directive. And so that was a challenge. I took home carts and bins and everything that I needed to teach what I was traditionally teaching from home, and I would figure out how to do that later. And so the first week that we were, you know, at home, we were just trying to wrap our head around, what does this look like? And I know my husband's also a teacher, and so he teaches high school CTE courses. And we were both just kind of like, I don't know how to teach my stuff. How are kids going to do it? We didn't have any direction because no one knew, right? I mean, no one knew. Not all of our kids had devices, much less a connection, if they did have a device. And no teacher knew how to teach from a screen without interaction, without, you know, I think we all get into teaching because we love kids and we love those interactions and those relationships. And then to have to try to do that while not standing next to a kid was bizarre.
Right.
So,
And then even if you're in a classroom and you see maybe one of the students doesn't necessarily want to engage, there are ways you could at least try to engage, or sometimes, you know, they just need to be left alone on the screen. I mean, some of them don't have cameras. Some choose to keep their cameras off. You don't really know what their level of engagement or interaction is. You don't know if they put it on mute and then walked away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think that was one of the harder things, even into all of last year. I was remote all of last year. So our district, every student was remote for the first semester essentially. And then we rolled back in with, you know, elementary and then middle school and then high school through February and March. I was selected to be part of the Distance Learning Academy. So I really developed a program for the middle school level and then, you know, did that for the remaining portion of the year. But even in that very beginning and then so on, like trying not to fall into the trap of thinking ill when you see 25 black screens and you just want to see some connection. You want it. I mean, when you see a name and you don't know what they look like, it's really hard to connect with the kids, but then to also stay in a positive space. I think that was hard. And a lot of my colleagues really struggled with that. So in a traditional setting, when kids don't turn in homework, there is a tendency for some teachers to be like, well, they're lazy or they just don't have any drive. And there's kind of that blame game. And that's something that I'm helping teachers work through too, because that's clearly there's barriers there. And oftentimes, almost never, I've never seen a kid that's just purely lazy. There's some other roadblock, right? So in the digital world with the black screens, it was difficult for teachers to not have some sort of negative thoughts around that. Like, they're just turning it off so they can go on their Xbox and I'm just here. And I mean, that's not the point. Like, some of them have, they're in a room with seven other kids and they're all doing their Zoom from the living room, seven of them lined up, and that's their reality. Or they live in a motel. Or they're embarrassed by what's going on behind them. Their parents are walking around in less than desirable clothes. I mean, there's so many different options. And I think most of the time it wasn't about the kid disengaging. And so keeping that positive mindset when you're already feeling like you're not doing a good job was difficult for teachers. And you just kind of had to let some of that go and just remember why you're there. Why are you here? You're here because you love kids and you want to make a positive impact in them. And that was always how I started my day, is just remembering that. Like, why am I here? What am I doing? And if the content isn't as solid as I would like it to be in the building, that's okay. My main goal every day was to make a positive impact with those kids and make sure that I was at least giving them opportunities to build relationships with me and their peers. They may not have taken advantage of them, but it was my goal to always give those opportunities.
You know, Aubrey, you mentioned sharing an office and people walking behind you. I was thinking, well, that's not any different than the Zoom environment if we're at home half the time. And that is why, you know, some kids mute their cameras. And, you know, I like many others, I had to work from home and I had four kids at home. And who wants to be there with those people, you know, all day while you're trying to work? And I saw some, I'd see their cameras off and I'd say, hey, you need to turn your camera on. It's hard for teachers, but they had all those same reasons, right? They maybe were shy. They're not like their dad. They're not like a monkey in the zoo. And they didn't want other people to see them, or maybe they wanted to stay in their pajamas that day or whatever it was, right? It does make it difficult though. It makes it a stress for teachers and you know, and that added stress is sometimes just It's what causes, I guess, the person to sob in the other room because they don't feel like they're making that difference, for children. So when I pulled up your Twitter bio, I of course, as I mentioned, the Go Kook stood out. But you do have a link on there to a site, and I pulled the site up. It was called Tech Bytes and Tidbits. So I thought that was just a really cool name. Of course, I'm an alliteration nerd,
There you go.
so I love that. But you talk about creating this during the spring of 2020, a place to house tutorial videos for your colleagues as questions arose. So in this case, you kind of pull yourself up by the bootstraps and you really went to work. You've mentioned the tech challenges but talk about this little site, this little project that may have been little, but hopefully it had some big impact on your colleagues and just the tips and tricks that it was helping them with. So talk about the process of just saying, hey, I got to do something, right?
Yeah. Well, so I mean, just kind of been one of those people who, I mean, on the forefront, like, let's go get them, let's try something. This isn't working, or I'm getting bored. So let's find something new and innovative, but let's research it first and make sure that it's actually grounded in some reality and it's not just one-offs, right? So when all of this happened, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was at home and I was like, what am I going to do? And I'm a teacher by trade. That means kids and adults. And so I thought, all right, I just started diving into and listening to. So my colleagues have always kind of come to me like, hey, I have this problem. Hey, I have this problem. What would you do? What would you do? I was in my internship at the time. So I had even more of that where people were coming to me as, you know, that first level, they didn't want to bother our actual administrators because we all knew that they were equally stressed. And so they would come to me and I would hear their needs and hear their desires and like they're trying to troubleshoot. So I just launched into, all right, let's start making videos of things that would be helpful. Initially, I am going to be totally honest. I was trying to describe how to do things in words and email because it didn't occur to me do a video. And then I was like, oh my gosh, how did that not occur to me? Why did I try to always communicate this in verbiage, like text? That's so ineffective. Or we would sit around, I would sit around trying to make it look pretty with the text and then the screenshots and embed, and that takes forever.
It
When
does.
you could just do like a video tutorial, here you go. And you could even make it a GIF or GIF. That's a whole nother controversy.
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah. And make it run on a loop or something, right? So all of those tutorials came from questions, authentic questions that people asked me. I wasn't just randomly like, oh, this sounds good. I mean, some of it a little bit. But then I dove into a path of what's called blended learning. And the Christensen Center is most notable for it, but Catlin Tucker, Dr. Catlin Tucker has really taken it and launched off. So I read all four of her initial books within like a week and I just couldn't get enough. And so that became my platform. And then I started thinking about, well, how can we apply blended learning to say we go back hybrid, say we, you know, go back full time. What does that look like? So initially I didn't even understand blended learning. It was being tossed around as something that it wasn't the true definition. So I thought blended learning was really what we were calling hybrid learning. And so when I got into what blended learning actually is when I fell in love with it and was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And actually that website right there was sort of the catalyst for what got me into my current role. So the district realized that I was the one doing all of this stuff, and then they kind of tapped me like, "Hey, actually, you've done all of this. Can you take it some steps further and do some coaching cycles with people around blended learning and deliver some professional development?" And that's kind of my role now, is helping teachers leverage what they learned from teaching using some digital tools and enhance student agency.
You can make such a phenomenal difference in the lives of the students, of the kids, in a role like that. I hear though from a lot of people who get into school administration, school leadership, whether they're a building administrator or somebody else that they might have got into it for the love of teaching though and interacting with the kids, and now their role, the way they make that difference is they help people to help
Oh.
people better, but they don't necessarily always see the have that same interaction. Is that hard? I mean, is that hard to make that transition?
It is. And in fact, the first week of school was so weird. And I still, I mean, we've been in school 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, not that long, although it feels like a lifetime. But it was weird to, here's the official first day of school, and there's not a single student around my workspace. And so I actually am finding that I'm going out to buildings more just to see kids and say hi and do that more than I thought I would, because it is hard not to see the return on your work. And I don't need to see, I guess that sounds kind of weird, but like I don't need to see the kids succeeding. What I need to see is them smiling. I need to see them happy. I can't see their smiles behind a mask, but I can see their eyes smile. I can see their faces light up. I can see when they're in a positive space, even masked. And so that's what's really important for me to see. And I think administrators would agree, when you're in a district office, it's wildly important to find time to get into the buildings and see what's going on and keep abreast of what is current.
Obviously the mask point. By the way, yes, when everybody's lined up for a picture and we joke about, oh, I'm smiling under the mask. You can see it. You can see it in the eyes, right? You can. But that kind of tells the story that we're not out of the pandemic per se. It still continues in some form, and now of course this Delta variant and all that. But from what you've learned as folks were not in buildings, and in Pullman that was the case last year as well, to now, what does this say about just the principle of being adaptable, being versatile, being able to not just do things the way they've been done, but also to not have to wait for instruction, right, in everything that we do, but to be able to find creative ways. It seems like it would just be, some people might be more talented at that, but it's a skill that could be developed, I'm sure. And moving forward, we don't know the way anything is going to actually look like. So, talk about that, those principles of versatility and adaptability.
Yeah, so when you were speaking about that, one of my favorite clips that I tended to kind of go back to, just because it gave me some well-needed humor in my life, was there was a Friends episode. I think it was Chandler, Ross, and Rachel were trying to move a couch. I don't know.
Oh, don't think you, I think it's this. You know it is.
Yep,
You're a diehard fan. You just don't
that
wanna.
was it. So, David Schwimmer, Ross was always pivot, pivot, and that whole thing just encaptured how it felt initially. And honestly, that's how it still feels. I almost feel like people hear the word pivot and they have a visceral reaction, like, oh gosh, I know that word. But I hear that word and I think of that episode and it makes me laugh. And so it just reminds me that not only do we as adults need to be flexible and adaptable and versatile and not be too married to one thing, but we also need to encourage that in our kids as well. And I think the kids, one hands down, I mean, they knocked that out of the park better than the adults did. There was no question. My two kiddos were in distance learning all year last year. And they thrived. We talk a lot about learning loss. And I agree, when you're thinking about the standards like the NGSS or the Common Core, the C3 standards, yeah, if we're measuring it based on those, what are traditionally taught things in a year, yeah, we didn't make those marks. But there are no standards for adaptability, versatility, flexibility. And our kids were learning those skills on the daily, because Zoom would go out, the teacher would get knocked out. They had to learn how to do school in an entirely different way. And in fact, one of my favorite things that happened last year with my son, who's 8, he didn't know the answer to a question, and it cracks me up because, well, you'll see. So his teacher asked him a question he didn't know the answer to. It was some, I don't know, historical thing she was trying to challenge him. And he thought about it for a second, turned and said, "Alexa," and then asked the question. And that's awesome. I mean, our kids are using the tools they understand. If they don't know the answer to a question, they don't just say, "I don't know." Remember the days when kids would write IDK on papers? That doesn't happen now. Like, you don't write IDK in a Google form. Like, they find ways to get the answers. And I know a lot of teachers were upset that kids were maybe researching answers. And I thought, why are you upset by that? That's awesome that they're using the tools available to them to find the answer. They're problem solving and they're thinking critically. And those are the things there aren't standards for, but that's what our kids gained out of this whole mess.
It gives me goosebumps to think of the long-term ramifications of that, that these are going to be the leaders of our cities and states and, you know, and country at some point. And they've learned something through this that we probably hadn't considered because we were so in the weeds just trying to get all of our day-to-day stuff done.
Right.
I will tell you, I think that's a really funny example. I was teaching a class, a lunchtime class for one of the colleges here on campus. And it's about podcasting and audio storytelling. And anyway, we were listening to a little segment from This American Life. And in that segment, the dad says, "Hey, Google." And so we're all listening. And there were no fewer than, you know, 6, 7, 8 Google things that had gone off on not only the students, but my own, that just went off hearing it from my speakers. And that was just a blast. You would never get that in the classroom. So, you tell me about this current role you have. You were tapped to do this digital learning specialist. So what does your day-to-day look like now? How do you interface with teachers and other, staff members at the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District?
Yeah, so it's still in its development phase. But ultimately, my vision for the role, let's go with that first, is that I am coaching teachers and administrators on how to efficiently use digital tools in order to increase student agency, increase rigor, engagement, and to maybe make their work more efficient. That's the vision. So what that looks like from the day to day is really right now building relationships. So as I moved into this new position, I need to kind of establish myself with buildings and teachers so that they feel comfortable. So the building that I was at, of course, they're tapping me on the daily, like, "Hey, come over, help us with this." But there are, you know, like 14 buildings in our district. So on a daily basis, I'm trying to get out to those buildings and catch teachers and just kind of have conversations with them, asking them questions. I'm an idealist. And so I maybe had ideas of grandeur about what this was going to look like. And it's so far, there's a disconnect right now. But that's reality, you know? So I'm needing to find some ways, and I'm going back and thinking about how can I invite people to engage in coaching cycles when they feel like their plate is already full. You know, I think going back from the previous from the previous 18 months, like you said, we're not out of this yet by any stretch. And teachers are still completely overwhelmed. And because of that, they're kind of reverting back to practices that they had pre-pandemic that maybe weren't the best, but it's a survival mode right now. So right now I'm trying to uncover what it is that's causing that survival mode mentality. Like, what are the stresses and how can I help them reframe and rethink and maybe use some of the things that they learned to infuse blended learning? For example, we still have kids going out on the daily being quarantined or they fall ill. And if a teacher is providing a worksheet through Google Classroom, where's the learning, right? So rethinking how we do that. Like, didn't you make a video on that last year? Let's pull that back out and connect it with, if you want that to be the practice, okay, let's do that. Or maybe we could use formative, attach the worksheet, and then the kid gets instant feedback. So it's digital instead of just a worksheet that they're sticking in there. So really rethinking and engaging in those coaching cycles with staff is my role right now.
So this is one question that we didn't plan for, but I think it could wrap a bow around about everything, your career, what you're doing now, all that. But you could see in my cool office here, this table banner that says Agents of Change. The college has focused a lot lately on agents of change and being that agent of change. I'd love to ask you, what do you feel makes you an agent of change?
Well, I mean, I don't think that I'm super special in that sense. Humility is probably a very strong characteristic of mine. I'm not one to be out there, but I do think the way that I am thinking and trying to reframe how teachers and administrators think will hopefully create a change. And I have to start small, but who knows, you know, where this ripple will go. It's kind of like the butterfly effect. But that is my goal, is to reframe how we deliver instruction on a daily basis, to infuse the digital side as well as best practices in teaching. We don't want to lose that. And I don't see myself as a tool pusher. So I'm not going to all the tech fest things and trying to find the latest and greatest tools. You know, we have a great solid set of tools, but we don't use them to their full capacity. And so I'm trying to change how teachers use those tools. And with that, they're going to be already comfortable. So, you know, I never imagined in a million years some of the teachers who are my top tech people right now, I would have not thought that 18 months ago. They struggled the most, and they were always the ones that I was like, come on, you can do it, you can do it. And now they come to me with the most advanced questions. So I can already see that change happening in some of them. So
that's awesome. Hey, you know, in our little pre getting to know you, I didn't know you were a Pullman kid. You hadn't told me that. And so it was really cool to hear all this now. And I would say the only thing that I'll leave with is, you mentioned relatives living their best life. I'd say you're not living your best life until we poach you. We're going to poach you. So watch out, Sumner Bonnie. Like, you got to come back to Pullman. It's so amazing here. It's been awesome talking to you. You are definitely a dynamite educator. And the header that you have on Twitter says inspire. And I can tell you that I feel like that's what you've done for me. You're definitely everything I think that we hope for when we send all of our best and brightest out of WCU, out of the College of Education, whether it's secondary ed, elementary ed, whether it's the principal or superintendent certification programs. I mean, we want folks to take the approach that you're taking. It is inspirational, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you joining me and talking about this.
Well, thank you. I fully enjoyed my conversation with you.
Cool. Thanks so much, Aubrey Anderson. I got to get this right again. Digital Learning Specialist with the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District. Thank you so much.
Yeah.